Hi, I'm Daniela with Young Entertainment. Thank you both so much for having us.
I
I feel young and
feel
entertained.
young and
Hi,
entertained. Hi, Daniela.
Thanks, Daniela. Thanks for having me.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for chatting with me today. So we'll just jump right in. Why was it important to you to create and work on this project?
Well, as you might know, the story is based entirely on my family history. So I guess I'd have to rewind back to the year 2000, when I sat down at a family reunion and started hearing stories about my relatives that were unlike anything I'd ever heard before. My grandfather, I was close with him growing up, but he never spoke about his Holocaust era past. And so there came a point in time where I decided somebody has to write these stories down. And finally, I raised my hand and said that somebody would be me. And I set off in 2008 to unearth and record the story of, yeah, my grandfather and his siblings and his parents and his young niece as they scatter at the start of the war,
Wow.
trying to survive and also to reunite. And I really did it for two reasons back then, was to preserve the story of the family and to honor what they went through, to get it down on paper. I didn't know what form it would take, and I certainly didn't think I'd be here today talking about a television series adapted from it. I went into it as the family historian. And I also wanted to write it in a way that my kids and their kids and so on could pick it up and appreciate it, and not just learn about what happened, but feel like they were there in that moment, living it with their relatives, and make their story feel relevant in that way.
Wow. Okay, so this isn't in my notes, but I have to ask now. So that is so intriguing that it went from okay, being the family historian wanting to preserve these stories, and then now it's turned into this series. How did that happen? How did that come to life?
It's also a very personal story. So the book came out in 2017, and then about a year later, my friend Tommy Kail called. I've known Tommy for 19 years. We go way, way back. And he said, "Hey, buddy, how would you like to partner up and try to bring this story to the screen?" And Tommy's obviously not only an incredible human, but phenomenally talented director and producer. So when he optioned the book, it just felt like a dream come true, because to be honest, I was nervous for it to fall into the wrong hands. I didn't want it to be exploited or told in a way that I wasn't comfortable with. But with Tommy at the helm, and he brought on Erica Lopez, who I fell in love with immediately, who's just a Wonder Woman of talent. She took it into her heart. We created a room full of writers. We pitched, Hulu embraced it the way that Erica had embraced it, and I knew we'd found our home with our network. And so the whole thing just felt right, and there was so much trust between everybody, and I got to be a part of it every step of the way, the production, and I feel so lucky.
So, why was it important for you to create and work on this piece?
Well, when Tommy gave me this book, I read it in 24 hours. I couldn't put it down. It was one of the most compelling family stories I had ever read. About a chapter of history that, as a Jewish woman, I felt like I knew a lot about the Holocaust and had a pretty good education, but this was informing me about that period of time from perspectives I had never seen before, all through the really intimate lens of this family. And I love family stories. I think that's one of my favorite things to write about: sibling dynamics, parent-children dynamics, those people meeting their spouses, starting their families. And all of that was in this series through the lens of the Kurtz family. And so it felt like, the dream of a lifetime to try to make a series like this, and maybe the challenge of a lifetime, but one that was, ultimately just an absolute dream to bring to life.
Incredible. Tommy, what about you?
I think similarly to Erica, what I am looking for, I feel ultimately, is I love stories centered on communities or families, families within communities. That seems to be a sort of recurring theme, for me. I also am interested in looking at a family that is having to evolve and change. And so there's something about the circumstances of our story that meant everybody who you meet in that first episode has to, in some way, both be that person and then say goodbye to that person because of the events happening, in the world. And so that, to me, meant like a real launching point for storytelling, an opportunity to get to know through behavior who these characters were and who they'll be. And I like stories that have sprawl to them, you know, that have scope in this way. It's something that's a little more sort of well suited to this medium, as opposed to the theater where I often work, and often the stories have a different kind of streamlining. So I love the breadth that this story could allow us to explore. And you know, and I think it's you know, and I think that there's something at the center of this, you know, who am I now and who am I going to be, that I think became a real source of you know, of inspiration and energy for us.
This is a serious project here. So why was it important for you to take on a role such as this one?
I think it's, first of all, a great book written by Georgia Hunter. It's a bestseller and not for no reason. It's a page turner that just captivates the reader from the first minute you get the book in your hand. And it was adopted so well by Erica Lipez and made it to a great series. And it's a real life story. So I think for me, portraying this real character, this Georgia Hunter's real life family that went through this horrible journey, but were lucky enough to survive. It was almost like an honor and a mission to jump into the character of Salem and to be part of the family of We Were the Lucky Ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Great
I agree. I'm with Michael on everything he says.
wife. I don't know who
Yeah.
Kathy is such a great wife. I'm with my
I
husband,
always
everything
agree
he
with
says.
him. Yeah, he's always right. Yeah, no,
Love
but I do completely agree with you. And luckily also I think as actors, like let's face it, when you get something that's written so well,
Yeah.
it's just a gift. The book was absolutely incredible and so unique. I've read a lot of books about this time in history, and I never read something that got me so, like, just feeling the people in it. It was just something so simple and intimate about it.
Yeah.
And that was very unique for me. And the writing of the scripts is just like, you can't get it wrong. It was just so beautiful, and it's a gift for actors. Yeah.
Oh.
I think this person was an incredibly important person in the
Yeah.
lives of all of her children. And really every life she touched. She's one of those people, because she really did exist, whose strength and fundamental goodness feels like it radiated out and touched that whole community around her. I love the chance to hold someone like that up to the light.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really beautiful. That's such a beautiful answer. I love that. So, speaking of portraying such an in-depth, beautiful character, we know that these roles were heavy to play. So, what kind of headspace did you have to get into before doing a scene?
Really, our work with each other was to bring joy to each other outside
Oh.
the work. You know, we just
Yeah.
delighted in each other's company. We played, we went, we played tennis, we went out to dinner together a lot. We took little day trips together when we had days off. We did all kinds of things. It was such a loving network of souls over there in Romania and then in Malaga. That was really what we did for one another, because the work itself took us to such deep and dark places sometimes,
Yeah.
that had we been like that all the time, offset, it would have been such overkill. And I think that's why there's a mysterious buoyancy to the series as you watch it, in spite of the unbelievably heavy subject matter and how emotional the performances are. And that buoyancy comes from everything that was going on behind the scenes, is our total affection for each other. I think you can see it. I think you can see it when you watch. You know, you can see that we loved each other. It's a texture of the journey that the audience gets to take, and I'm so grateful for that part of it.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. What is the one thing that you are going to take away from working on this project? The thing that you are going to hold most near and dear from working on this?
the value of motherhood, the treasure that is a good mother, underserved so often by society, but a profound recognition of what a vital thing,
wow,
service it is to the world to be a good mother. And I felt that through this character very much.
So was there one thing that you learned about the Holocaust while working on this project that you didn't know before?
Well, I think it's we were the lucky ones, as the title applies.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many who weren't lucky. And I think for the young entertainment readers and viewers, like, I think it's a good reminder. Go back to history books. Go and read. Go and learn the history that just happened recently, not too long ago. We Were Lucky One is a story about a family that survived and so many families didn't survive. And this black hole in human times should never, ever repeat itself. I think it's a great reminder for everyone to learn a lesson about what evil can look like in the face of evil, and how hate can in a second be spreaded and blind us from what our true values are. And we have to believe and hope, like this family, that love will conquer it. But to educate ourselves of what just recently happened.
I think what was really, I think, important for me in my own education was, in some ways, those years leading up to the start of the Final Solution and the concentration camps. It's, I think, you know, I think it's really important to see how this can happen within a society, and to see how this family is living in Poland. And this is a community that they're well integrated in, that they're a part of, that they have friends and neighbors, and to see sort of the circumstances change around them. And I felt like George's story really walked through those horrifying steps of sort of how humanity gets chipped away. But then I think beyond that, it's like I think a lot of my education was more concentrated in Eastern Europe. And so the fact that, you know, you have one sibling who ends up in Siberia and then Kazakhstan and then is in a war in Italy. It's, you know, and then you have another character who escapes the continent and ends up in Brazil, but has many steps along the way trying to seek refuge somewhere. I mean, I think those stories in particular were not ones that I had gotten to explore before. Right. And it was really educational, and I hope, and fascinating. I mean, I hope people really feel compelled by it.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful.
You know, I think that the experience and the day-to-day life of what it meant to be part of the Jewish resistance, which the show explores, is something that I was keen for us to try to represent on screen, just what the work was, and then the subterranean work, you know, the sort of the dual life that was lived, and the exploration of that, and the tension of what that must feel like to be moving through the world in that way. So again, this sort of far-flung diaspora was also something, you know, you'll hear about how Australia or Argentina had an influx of Jews at certain times, and the question of how people went from one place to another with such great distance and to restart their lives. And so I think that in this story, you know, with these siblings, you had a chance to follow their stories. And again, because Georgia did so much deep research, you know, she really laid the path for us.
Definitely. No, I mean, we all know people that have them. It's in our families. It's your family. It's my family. It's in our DNA. For us, it's not just a historical event or a story in black and white. It's actually, like, I remember my grandmother telling me about the way she was separated from her parents. And when I was younger, I used to be like, oh, it's my grandmother. But it takes time to understand that life actually happened. I don't know how to explain it, because when I was younger, my grandmother told me about it. I was like, oh, a long, long time ago, something happened to my grandmother.
Yeah.
But now I understand that she was like carrying it with her all the time. And she remembers her parents like yesterday, and she misses them, and she was a kid. And it's so important to know people that it happened to them. And if you don't, then then if it helps to see a story and to relate to the people, that really is important and helps. Yeah.
I didn't understand how deeply it lived inside of me.
Yeah.
And all I can say is, I mean, what a both devastating but informative surprise that was when I would open a door to an experience that belonged to the character and find that it went fathoms deep in my own being from experiences I'd never lived through, but my ancestors had. That was a humbling, but also beautiful experience.
Yeah, there were so many stories that I uncovered, and I'd say one big bucket came from the side of my great uncle Ginnick. And when I went into my research, he has two sons, and I asked them, you know, well, what happened to your father during the war? And all they knew is that he was sent to Siberia. They didn't know why or how long he was there or when or why he was released. And thanks to like a rabbit hole, I found a 9-page document written in my great uncle Genick's hand through the Hoover Institution at Stanford University that explained it all. The reason he was arrested, the day he and Herta were put on a train, the 45-day journey to this town called Altine in Siberia, what were they were forced to do there, how they were eventually granted amnesty, and without giving too much away, the whole story, his entire storyline, basically, in this one document. And so that was an incredible find, and not just to fill the gap in the family story, but to pass it over to his sons, who have since, you know, taken it and preserved it in their own personal ways. So that one stands out.
Wow. Okay. And not to make light of this at all, but what comes to mind a little bit is National Treasure, when he goes on this hunt, this hunt, and tracks everything down, tracks these documents down. What was that experience like? Hearing one thing and you're like, okay, I got to get to the bottom of this. And the next thing you know, you said Stanford, you're reading something. If I remember that correctly, it's Stanford. What was that process like of tracking those things down?
I felt like a detective at times, right? Because I just kept asking questions, and I kept digging and digging. And thank God for the internet. Like, if I had tried to write this 20 years before, I think I would have hit a lot of roadblocks. But every day there is more and more digitalized, you know, records, whether it's through the International Tracing Service or the Holocaust Museum or Hayas, or for some reason, the Hoover Institution at Stanford University has an incredible World War II database. And I would find them through like a Yahoo group that I'd say, hey, I'm trying to research on a relative that I know was sent to Siberia and eventually fought for General Anders in the army. And they'd say, oh, reach out to this person at this place. And then at the UK Ministry of Defense, you'll find army records. And sure enough, I did. I found records. I found medals of honor for two of the relatives who fought in the army. And being able to pass those on to the family was really special. So it felt a bit like being a detective. And I just kind of never gave up. I don't know. I just kept asking, kept digging.
That is so, so good. So good. What do you hope that young people take away from watching this project?
That they can do more than they think they can, that they can survive more than they think they can. Because what this story really is a coming of age story. And all of the 20 somethings and in the story go through an enormous arc growth trajectory in the course of the series. They start at thinking that they're incapable of certain things that they learn that they're absolutely capable of by the end, because circumstances hit them and they're forced to grow. They're forced to discover things about themselves and strengths and capacities they didn't know they had. And I think it's actually, particularly for your venue, it's a gift to young people, because it's a demonstration that they're stronger than they know.
Well, I hope they will watch. I think it is really important to not feel like history is at such a distance. I mean, I think we have to educate ourselves about history, but I really believe in the power of television and stories to really make that history come alive in a different way. And I feel so altered by like having had a chance to live alongside the Quartz family. And so I hope that young people, no matter what background they come from, that they can find a way to relate to this family, because I think it is a very specific perspective in some ways, but I think within that specificity, universality can happen. And I think, you know, this is a family fundamentally that is just trying to get back around the dinner table together. And I think so many people can relate to that. And I really hope that young people engage with it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the spirit of resilience that exists mm-hmm. within this family, you know, the amount of resolve that is expressed, in, you know, within this family, it's something that I feel as a former young person, you know, it's, I think that there's a challenge now that a lot is, this sort of separation that Erica's talking about, that things that can feel distant, but
yeah,
I think what we were trying to say is that if anybody is fortunate enough and lucky enough to make it to their elder years, they also were young and feeling the exact same things. Like we're actually not so distinct in that way. We have all of this in common, and we wanted to do the opposite of what our parents wanted to do. And the music might've sounded like this instead of that, but it's this, you know, these things are in human nature. And I think that's experienced in the love and the searching that exists in the longing within our series. And I think there's big feeling and big emotion. And I feel like that's something that hopefully will be, you know, a portal for audiences of any age and for the younger audience to come and find.
Completely. And we're so excited to just be able to bring this to our audience because it is young people. And we feel like there is a gap. Like a lot of young people aren't informed about the Holocaust. So this is really near and dear to us. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. I know it's going to impact and hopefully educate our audience. And then I wanted to ask too, switching lanes a little bit here, being an actor and choosing to do different projects, or even just in general, it's popular and it's common to get negative feedback on social media or hate on social media. What is some advice that you would give to up and coming actors or even successful actors of a positive way to deal with some of the negative feedback that comes with being on social media?
Ooh, Michael.
Well, I think, you know, as I said before, the way that we use our social media tools to spread hate is one thing. And unfortunately, it becoming a majority of a way to spread hate.
Yeah.
Because hate is so easy. It's easy to hate. Yeah. It's much harder to love. And when you are an ambassador of love and you want to spread that to the world and you want to give that back, I think when you answer hate with love, it's hard to do. It's easy to say. But I think that would be, you know, overcoming what's becoming so popular and so, you know, the right thing to do or the right thing to write and to be part of this wave of hate, you become blind of what's human.
Wow, it's a great question. It's coming from someone who's not big into social media herself. And that's partly because I don't think reading comments is a healthy habit. Mm-hmm. And for young people, I know it's just part of life. But if you believe in something and you're passionate about something, be proud of it. And no matter what people think, I mean, a lot of people probably would have told me not to spend so much time trying to unearth this story that, you know, hadn't been passed down to me personally. I think if you go into something with your heart and you know you're in the right place, nothing else really matters. And I kind of feel like that about our show. I know we'll get all sorts of feedback and I'll probably see things on social media, but I'm so proud of what we made and of the effort that I'm going to try to let all that fall away.
It's to remind them that they're an actor. If I have a minute to tell you, my grandmother was a psychoanalyst and they were still in Germany. She had a practice in Germany that extended from 30 through 1934. During the whole rise of the Third Reich, she saw patients. And I'm imagining that patient after patient might come in with a very different story. One person might say, you know, I'm a Jewish professor. I just lost my previous position at university. I don't know why. The next person might come and say, I hate the Jews. The next person might come in and be a kid saying, my parents are pressuring me to join the Hitler Youth. I don't know what to do. And she had to sit there and be a psychoanalyst, even though, you know, her husband had had to escape to Turkey and she would soon be joining him and so on. She had to sit there as a psychoanalyst and do her job. And her job was to listen.
Wow.
And her job was to help try to heal each soul that sat in a seat across from her. It was not to say, I don't agree with this. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, you're wrong and so on. It was to try to heal each one. And as actors, we have a job that's no less meaningful than that. We do it with our work. We try to bring people to a place of empathy with our work. Let your work speak. That's what I would say to that actor.
Yeah. For me, it's very hard to respond to hate with love. Like when I got some hateful messages, I would be like, it's really hard for me to believe that people would like really make an effort to hurt people. And I'd be like, really? Do you really want to hurt me so bad? You've never met me.
With the push of a button, you know?
Yeah. Click. But, yeah. And I don't understand how hate is so easy for people. And well, the more love you have in your life, the better your life is. So seriously, guys, just like, I don't know, love each other. What's your problem? Like, really. And if you get hateful message, just like breathe and know that in your little world, these people don't exist. Like, just create love in your own life. Yeah.
Totally. I have a 24-hour rule. If I ever get like a negative message on socials, my instinct is like, I want to react. I want to defend. But 24 hours later, I feel better and I can look at it from a different lens. So I know exactly what you're talking about. You have to take that deep breath. I think I have about 30 seconds left. So if you want to talk fast, I wanted to know if there's any funny behind the scenes moments that happen while you're filming offset onset that you can share.
Well, this is my real life wife, just so you know that. She's my wife in real life. No, it's not true. But we already been husband and wife before. And we're just coming back and we're in a couple therapy now for the next show that we're going to be cast again as husband and wife or grandma and grandpa. Who knows?
Yeah.
There, you let you know.
We can't wait to be cast again as husband or maybe what?
Divorcees.
Something else. Yeah.
Spread the love. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you both so much. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you.
Great to chat with you too.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You too.